It's good to be back home. I do consider this my home and you my family, and I'll stay unemotional for right now. But seeing you and many of you in the same places that you have sat for many years and going, and that's a compliment, going into our 10th anniversary, we still have people that were there on our first day. And a pastor can't pastor unless he has people. And pastor is not a title on a door. It's a person you let into your life. And that's through living together, good times, bad times. And boy, I've had a privilege to be there at Legacy and celebrating 10 years, also celebrating 30 years of marriage. I was up at Potomac Mills Mall. Are the teens still in here? Or did they leave? They're still in. I was up walking Potomac Mills Mall this afternoon, and I remember walking that mall as a single Marine, begging God for a family, begging God for a wife, begging God for somebody that I could serve the Lord with. And 30 years later, I'm so glad God answered that prayer. Amen. Do it right. Do it God's way. Amen. And it will pay dividends on and on and on. Terry couldn't be here this evening. I do have to jump in the car and drive home for some things that I have tomorrow that I have to be at. But it's good to be here. I have my notes here. Tonight's special. Can you tell that? I love this place. I love you. I got to know Pastor Carpenter a little bit today. And it's amazing how many connections that we have in folks that we know and folks and things we've been part of. And so Heritage has always been special to me. And you have always been special to me. And so tonight, in kicking off your revival or continuing in your revival on a Monday night, I really want you to understand that I was reflecting back, because revival is not some spooky, ooky, weird thing. We in Christianity, we have kind of made revival some really weird things in our minds. If you look up the dictionary for revival, it says to return to consciousness or life, to become active or flourishing again. You see, Psalm says, "Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee?" It is not something spooky. There's no clouds going to come in here and all of a sudden you're going to levitate. That's not revival. Revival is coming to life again. And as I was praying about this and I was thinking about this, I think I get to be a tremendous spokesman for this tonight, because this is the place where I became alive. I was dead in my sin. I had no relationship with God. I grew up with religion and religiosity. I've been to churches where they come forward and they lay hands and you fall down and they put a little beach towel over you. I've been to those places. I've been to the places that laugh and bark like dogs. Hey, I've been to those places. But it was at Heritage that Jesus Christ saved my soul. He quickened it. He gave me life here in this place. It was in this place, not only did I get born again, but then all of a sudden God started working. It was in this place that I was revived over and over and over and over and over again. Sometimes we get weird concepts and notions. Psalm says, "Wilt thou revive us again, that we may rejoice in thee?" Hey, listen, when you're not in a place where you're rejoicing in God's goodness, you need revival. When you're not in a place where you're rejoicing in the overwhelming mercy of God, you need revived. You don't need born again. You see, to be revived, you have to have life. You'll never have revival until you know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior. But once you know Him as Savior, then you're going to be constantly growing. You're going to be constantly maturing. And listen, you're going to be constantly producing fruit which will revive and cause a rejoicing. Revival. Revival is simply being as excited about the things of God the day you got saved. That's all it is. I was telling Pastor Carpenter, Spriggs Road has changed. I missed it today. I ended up down on Minneville. Minneville doesn't look like it did. I was telling Pastor Carpenter, old Spriggs Road, when you came off of 234 and you came down, there was a bend. And on that bend was an oak tree. And many nights I would drive Spriggs Road and I said to myself, all I could do is jerk left and end it all. And then I met Jesus and had no reason to meet that oak tree. You see, when I think of heritage, I think of a place where I was born again. I think of a place where I was revived over and over again. Why? I'll give you three thoughts tonight about Heritage Baptist Church. The things that revived my soul at Heritage Baptist Church. Number one, the men. That's broad, including you ladies. Number two, the moments. And number three, the message. Father, would you help us tonight to rejoice in Thee? Lord, the truth is, we get beat down. We get raked over the coals. We get just difficult, weary, and long days. And some of those days get to us so much that there is no rejoicing. That it's hard to praise Your name. And it's in those moments we need revived again. God, help us as we study Your word tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Life's hard. We do get defeated. We get discouraged. We get tired. We get overwhelmed. And sometimes we don't think we're going to see another day. But yet God grants us another day. I have a saying I say every morning, every day vertical beats horizontal. There's a lot of people who wish they could be here tonight and can't. There's a lot of people that wish they could be aggravated by going into the office, but they can't. You see, every day vertical beats horizontal. Would you turn in your Bibles this evening to Exodus chapter 14? It's a familiar passage, but I hope to give you a little bit of a different understanding tonight. And in doing that, I hope that you'll understand the men, the moments, and the message. See, here we have in Exodus chapter 14, very familiar passage. In verse 10 it says, "And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. And they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, because there are no graves in Egypt, thou hast taken us away to die in the wilderness. Wherefore hast thou dealt with us thus, to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians, for it has been better for us to serve the Egyptians than we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, fear not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will show you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward." Boy, that's a familiar passage, isn't it? We understand the man in this passage. Moses now is about 80 years old. He'd been 40 years in Pharaoh's company. He'd been 40 years in Egypt. He'd been 40 years in the wilderness. Man, you know what I find a lot of times? We focus on the wrong things when we come to Scripture. It's almost like Satan does this bait and switch thing. So many times we get enamored, hey, Moses, this passage isn't about Moses. Don't you understand? So many times we get enamored with the celebrity. So many times we want to be the celebrity. So many times we want to make life about us. And there are moments in life, and some of the greatest moments, that the things we're going through, the things we're dealing with, have nothing to do with us. God's just going to use us in a circumstance that He's deigned necessary. You see, revival is when I get as excited about the things of God as the day I was saved. Hey, I want you to understand, the reason I was excited the day that I got saved was I realized my salvation wasn't about me. That my life was all about God's love and His mercy and His grace. And that when He saved my soul, and when He birthed me, and when I got born again, my daddy had a purpose for me. There was a reason that my life existed. That God had created me, and He had fashioned me, and He designed me for a very specific thing. And when I got saved, the Holy Spirit indwelled my life. The Word of God now could teach me, and I could thrive and grow. Because I learned that day that life is not about me. We live in a generation and a culture where everything is about the individual. Young people, growing up, we didn't take selfies. Not because we were spiritual, because you had to pay for every picture you took, and you had to wait 2 weeks for it to be developed. And if it was out of focus, you paid for that. And if all you got your ear was, you paid for that. We weren't absorbed in ourselves because it cost us money. I think the world has kind of crept into the church. Well, we're not running around necessarily taking selfies, but I think in every circumstance, we start out with, why is God doing this to me? What's this going to do to my time? What's this going to do to my... what? Oh, I'm so drained. I'm so... Hey, listen, when you got saved, you were like, how can I serve God? I was talking to Brother Bischoff this afternoon. I said, man, when I got saved, I was a single Marine. You know what my weekends were? Heritage Baptist Church. Friday night, I was with Rob Harris out of Youth for Tomorrow Homes. Friday night, I was spending out there with those boys. Man, I was trying to mentor them. I was trying to teach them. I was trying to be a big brother to them. Man, Friday nights, that's where I was at. As a single young man, Marine, Saturday morning, I was at men's leader, men's prayer breakfast. I preached my first message at men's prayer breakfast on a Saturday morning. I preached on a squirrel-like faith. I still remember it. I still remember how gracious you men were. I can still almost quote Bob Michaud's prayer requests every Saturday morning. I can almost quote it. I can take you to Pastor Koza's old office and show you where every Saturday as a young man, being just in love with God and in love with Heritage, I would sit up there and my feet would go under his desk because his office was so small. And we would pray to God. Boy, I can remember when I adopted my kids and I came back. And the college and career had gotten to my house and set up the Christmas tree and put gifts under this tree for my adopted children to come home and to have a Christmas. Listen, my life was the Lord. My life was Heritage. And oh, how that burned. Oh, how that revived. Oh, how that gave me life. Oh, that we would live with the excitement of when we first got saved. Moses is here. He just said, let my people go. Can I show you something? Would you look at verse 15? Who's speaking? Somebody? Who's speaking? It's not Moses, it's the Lord, right? The Lord spake unto Moses, look what it says. And the Lord said unto Moses, what are you crying to me about? Isn't that like God? Huh? Hey, Moses, what are you yapping at me for? Look what it says. Speak unto the children of Israel. Read the next phrase with me, please. That they go forward. What is it? What was God's plan for Israel? That they go forward. What was Israel's attitude? We want to go back. You see the difference? You see, this passage of Scripture is not about Moses. It's not about him standing with the rod. It's not about him parting the Red Sea. He didn't do that. God did that. This passage of Scripture, this moment in time, is directly to the people of Israel. God had delivered them with a great deliverance. And now what were they going to do with it? You do remember when they came out of Egypt, they like had gold jewelry and necklaces. The Bible says they spoiled the Egyptians. You know what that means? They went and ransacked the houses. They were owed back pay for all those years of slavery and they took it. They come out. And if you look at verses, the early verses in this passage, Moses took them exactly to where God said to take them. That's where they were. And God took them to a box canyon. He took them to a place where they were backed up by the sea, and then all of Pharaoh's army was coming after them from the rear. They couldn't go to the sides. This is where they were. You see, there's men, there's moments, and there's a message. You know what's interesting about this, Pastor? Moses had already left Egypt once. Yes? And when he left, he didn't leave in the best way, did he? But you know what? He left the way most people want a deliverer. Take it into his own hands, kill a guy. Isn't that what the disciples wanted? They wanted Jesus to overthrow Rome. Isn't that what they wanted? And it's the same thing we want. We want it our way. Bless God, I'll serve God the way I want to. Bless God, I'll live the way I want to. Bless God, this better be enough good for God. And we end up frustrated, angry, and upset, and we end up burnt out because we want it our way. Moses had already left. Moses had already gone to the backside of the desert. Moses had already seen the burning bush. You think that would have changed your life? You think that would have changed your life? Speak to a burning bush and it speak back? I mean, I've had some barbecues that caught on fire, but they never spoke to me. Moses had already physically and verbally spoke to God. God had already showed him. God had already manifested his power. God had already showed him the snake turning into a stick, turning back into a snake. I mean, God had already showed the plagues of Egypt. God had already done that for Moses. This wasn't about Moses. This wasn't about Moses. This was about the people. Because this is the first time they were leaving Egypt. Would you think about this for a second? All they ever knew was Egypt. That's all they ever grown up with. That's all they ever heard. All they had ever been was slaves. All they ever did was they did what they were told, when they were told, how they were told to do it. That's all they did. Sir, yes, sir, just like the Marine Corps. Amen. Give me that ooh-rah, battle cry. Listen, the children of Israel, This was a scary time. They were leaving everything that they knew to follow God. God gave them a man, led them, and they were to follow. And the minute they got out of Egypt, the minute they got out of their comfort zone, the minute they got away from the familiarity, the minute they lost control, they started withering up. Do you know that they didn't have any joy? Can we see that? Weren't they murmuring? Oh, you just brought it. See, we told you. You just brought us out here, so there's more grave sites out here. Oh, we love the onions back in Egypt. Oh, we told you. Isn't that how they responded to Moses? That wasn't praise him, praise him, praise him. That wasn't joy. You know what it was? It was God, young people, moving him to an uncomfortable place that they might have a moment. You see, at Heritage Baptist Church, I left everything that I knew. I was a Marine. I had club clothes. I had speakers this big. Back then, they had to be this big. When I got saved, I became a new creature. Instead of Friday night at the club, I was reading my Bible. I was at the Youth for Tomorrow home. Instead of Saturday morning sleeping in and playing softball, I was at men's leadership breakfast. Why? God changed me. And I want you to know, it got uncomfortable. Have you been under preachers preaching? There's times it got uncomfortable because he would put his finger right on my forehead. You see, the children of Israel now were uncomfortable. Instead of joy, instead of faith, instead of wonderment, instead of rejoicing in the liberty that they had, they were shriveling up in their fear. You know what they were afraid of? They were still afraid of Pharaoh. When a person gets saved in Pittsburgh, it's generally they're a Roman Catholic. You know what they're afraid of? Their family. Afraid of family, afraid of friends, afraid of family functions. You see, listen, revival is when you can rejoice again like the day you got saved. And watch this. At Heritage Baptist Church, there's men and there's women that God has placed here that will help you stay revived. Listen, this wasn't about Moses, but they needed Moses to stand up and pick the rod up. They needed some encouragement. Hey, we're not going to die here. They needed to see Moses. Man, here at Heritage Baptist Church, Floyd Furr gives me a hard time every time he comes in the door. I love every minute of it because I know he loves me. The decades, the events, Bob Walker. There are people in this room that have so revived my life in the darkest days in which I've ever lived. And the only reason I'm not a drug addict or an alcoholic is because men and women in this room, when I needed revived, you took those moments to breathe life into me. You took those moments to cry with me and to laugh with me and to grow with me and to strengthen me and to forgive me and to pardon me. You see, what you did was you lived beyond yourself. And God used it to revive me. You see, at Heritage Baptist Church, we need men. And we need women that know God and know the power of God and will be there to help when somebody wants to go back to Egypt. Man, the world makes it look good, young people. What we need is folks to come alongside the young people and say, don't go. Trust God. He's going to work it out. Cry with them. Don't criticize them. Pray with them. Don't preach at them. Hey, live a testimony of God's power and let that speak to them. Not only do we need men, but we need moments. If you're going to be revived, it's got to be not about you. There's got to be a Red Sea moment. Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says, and the Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. Now, you wouldn't understand how hard I have it. You wouldn't understand. Oh, you just want to hold your peace. Because every time you say something like that, you're not rejoicing, are you? Are you? You might as well just ask for onions. God, give me the onions of Egypt. Listen, I'm not saying you don't endure hard things. What I'm saying is, hey, God's going to fight for you. And generally when God fights for you, He's sending somebody alongside to enable you. And when He sends somebody alongside to enable you, those moments are precious. I have moments like that all across this room. Matt Kinsey and I have had moments. Huh? Mike Holmes and I have had moments. I could go around the room. The moments that I was going to quit. The moments that I didn't believe God. The moments I wasn't sure God could use me. The moments I wasn't sure I could stay on the mission field. The moments I wasn't sure. You see, those moments are what binds us together. So many times, believers in Christ, when moments happen, they abandon the church. They abandon their Christian friends. They sit back and they say, I'm just going to take a break, when it's exactly the opposite moment to do that. You ought to band together. You ought to rally together. You ought to have that moment. Hey, listen, for generations, they're going to talk about this Red Sea moment. We're still talking about it today, aren't we? Hey, do you want to be remembered as the one asking for the onions of Egypt? Or you want to be the one going, hey, I'll go first. Woo-hoo! What do you want to say about your granddad? Yeah, my granddad, he led a revolt against Moses. My grandma, she dove in the waters moved out. She landed on her face. Funniest thing I'd ever seen. I posted it on Facebook. 12 million likes. It was a YouTube fail video. You see, there's men, there's moments. And there's a message. We have the greatest message of life and faith and hope that the world has ever known. We have a purpose that the gospel may go forth. Hey, Heritage, I don't know if I'm the only grandbaby church, but we're a grandbaby church of Heritage. Do you know why? Anybody remember the church planting conference we had about 18 years ago? Remember that, Vance? Remember we got up and said, we'd like to plant churches across America. Remember that? Check it off the list. You see, there was a message, and the message was this: we're not going to live just for Heritage Baptist Church in Woodbridge, Virginia. We're going to live for the cause of Christ. And to live for the cause of Christ, we've got to send men and women, boys and girls out to the mission fields, out to America. We've got to start church after church with the message of the gospel.
Amen.
And you know what happened here? You're thinking built bigger buildings. Did you not? Hey, I remember Telegraph Road. Sorry, I'm old. As we sent people around the world, did God bless here? Yes or no?
Amen. Yes.
Hey, when the Hiltons write back from Spain that they just opened their new building, hey, you get a little excited around here?
Amen.
You get a little revived? You get a little bit, hey, that's one of our guys. Hey, that's one of our guys. Hey, I remember when he was a lieutenant. Hey, I remember when I didn't think they were going to make it through the Heritage Institute of Ministry. Whoa, they cracked open a building. Oh, wait. And you added a gym. Go ahead. Live the next 20 years just thinking of these four walls. And watch it wither and wither and wither and shrink. Huh? You see, we've got a message that causes new life. We've got a message that gives new life. Here was the message that God gave to Moses. Hey, Moses, don't stand there and whine to me. Tell them to go forward. This passage isn't about Moses. It's about the people. God wants us to constantly be moving forward. You know what that means? You're going to have to get out of your comfort zone. You know what that means? There's missions dollars that need to be spent. There's missions trips that need to be going on, young people. There's people to pray over. There's hospitals to visit. There's door knocking that needs to be done. There's buses that need to be run. Hey, listen, now is not the time to shrink in. Is that not what the government's tried to do to us for the last year? Is that not what the scientists have told us to do? Hey, let me ask you a question. Was there any message of hope in that at all? Huh? I'd rather live with hope and the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I'd rather believe God and go forward. I'd rather see my life be used and spent for others. And you know what happens when that happens? I'm vibrant. I'm rejoicing. In the midst of the pandemic, I, like your pastor, have a burden for one-on-one discipleship. Right? In the midst of the pandemic, I had 7 people coming to my house on different nights for discipleship. My wife would look out the window and she'd say, "Here comes number 6. She'd just call them by numbers. She's like, "When are you going to take a break?" I'm like, "A break, a break." They would come into my office and we would sit, and 2.5, 3 hours later, sound about right, Holmes? 2.5, 3 hours later, it'd be 9:30 at night. And they would get up and they would leave my office. And I would come upstairs and my wife said, "Are you ready for bed?" I said, "Honey, I am so excited. Man, they're growing. They're asking questions. They wanted to study this. They wanted to study that. Hey, bring on another one. Give me 8. Give me 9. Keep going, because the message brings life." The men and the moments of Legacy or Heritage Baptist Church caused me to live again. I came back from Russia broken and beaten. I was out at the cemetery yesterday. No parent should have to be able to do that. Bob walks in last night. A college and career saved my life. Coming back beaten, broken, resigned the mission field, but then able to teach the college and career class. You know what happened? It wasn't about me. It was about him. It was about these 2 twins named the Packs. You know what it was? It was Heritage and the purpose that we had and the moments that we had and the message that we had. And I'm saying to you tonight, on this Monday night of revival, I'm saying let's live again. Amen. You don't need to get saved again. What you need to do is get excited about the men the people in your row. What you need to get excited about is the moments. It's not just Wednesday night church. It's not just Sunday. It's moments that we can be together, that we can encourage and strengthen each other. It's standing at the Red Sea and it's watching God part the waters. And you look over at your neighbor and you're like, "You go first, man." Maybe you're standing at the Red Sea and you're wondering if the onions are better back in Egypt. Can I show you something as I close? Would you look at chapter 15, verse 1? Then what? Then what? Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, saying, "I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider hath thrown into the sea." Hey, just yesterday afternoon, you were wanting to ride the horses back to Egypt. But then God showed up, and you had a moment. The teens came up to Legacy on that last trip. And I was sitting there with the kids, and we have a great ice cream place. If you like ice cream, come visit. We've got a great ice cream place. We're sitting out there at this ice cream place, and I'm sitting there, and the kids are sitting there. And this one girl comes over, and she says, "Hey." I said, "Hi." She said, "You know who I am?" I was like, "Do you know who I am?" "It ain't about you, young lady." She said, "You know who I am?" I said, "I have no clue." She goes, "Well, you know my dad." I said, "Nah." I said, "Who's your dad?" She said, my dad's Matt Kinsey. There's moments. There were nights Matt Kinsey had come to my house for discipleship. And I'd beg God when he left, "Oh God, help him. Oh God, work. Oh God, move. Oh God, don't let Satan get another one." Here's his daughter serving the Lord, loves God. That night was more special to me than most nights I've ever lived in my life. Because it wasn't about me, Matt. It was about you. And it was about the message of redemption and forgiveness and grace and power and glory. And God's not done with you. You may be standing at the Red Sea. Instead of complaining, have hope about tomorrow. Because they were singing the next day. Didn't the Bible say, "Lord, revive us again that we might sing unto thee"? Isn't it amazing that this passage has very little to do with Moses? And it has everything to do with a people that just need to see God work. Would you stand with your heads bowed, eyes closed? The message for your life is that you could go forward, that you can trust Him again, that you can focus on His plan, that you can focus on His will, that you can get your eyes off yourself and onto the purpose and the mission that God has for your life. As the instruments play, I want you to ask God tonight, "God, could I be a man God, could I be there for the person in my pew? God, could I be the encourager? Could I be the strength? Could I be the visionary to help people make it? Maybe you should come forward and say, oh God, I want to be that man. I want to be that woman. God, I want to make a difference in somebody's life. Come on, come on. How about a moment? When's the last time you thanked God for the moments that He's given you? To be part of this church, to be part of His mission, to be part of what He's doing. Hey, don't you want a moment for yourself? Don't you want a Red Sea moment? Maybe tonight you just need to buy into the mission. You just need to understand God has a purpose for your life and surrender to it.